America Weekend.
You know, Roland, there are things in our business called outtakes.
Yes.
And stories that we'd like to forget, the adventures of being on air and on the behind the mic. And I've had some some adventures I'd like to forget behind the mic. And so
Well, what was your most embarrassing moment ever behind the microphone?
I was doing an outdoor show in Toronto, Canada. And I'll never forget this. I was with Dear Judy LeBeau. It was called Inside Music. And we had about 500 people. And we were supposed to be, have a whole series of acts being booked in and television cameras and so on. And we set up in a park, and it was in the wrong place. And we literally set up, the bands were 9 blocks away or 10 blocks away. We were in the wrong park. We set up, had everything going. We had some people actually came. And then someone came up to us while we were in the middle of the broadcast saying, hello. And we went on air. This was on Chum Radio. We actually went on air. And we were in the wrong spot. Happens. So what we got to do is you got to pick up everything. I said, let's go to a very long commercial. We threw everything in the back of a truck. In those days, equipment was heavy and cumbersome. We were doing a live radio feed.
Well, plus you also had to be able to hook into the line feed from the telephone company to get it back to the station.
We were at in every public park in Toronto, there are these connections. So we were good to go there. We was always next to what they call their central house. Mm-hmm. They used to have them, by the way, in many parks in the United States where there was a central place where you'd go into a park where you'd have the bathrooms and so on and so forth. Many of those places, those buildings are gone. The public bathrooms are gone. They're just gone, okay? Well, we plugged in there because there was telephone outlets there. And we had a disconnect and we ran You had 5 vans of people. It was embarrassing as all heck. Literally, do you remember seeing people when they go down? You have people on top of vans
sure.
and hanging out like
right.
a cartoon with feet and arms hanging out the window. I threw 20 people in one van, literally a big van. We stuffed people in there, technicians, equipment, God knows what.
Were you working for the same people the next day?
Actually, no, we got fired after that event.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, boy.
The station manager came. This is a Saturday.
Yeah.
We finally did get to this event. There were five. The acts were already performing. They didn't know what the heck happened to us. We finally show up. We do some cockamamie idea of a show. And Judy LeBeau looked at me. She says, we're done here. I said, oh, yeah, we're done. And we were. They fired us. They fired us that night, as a matter of fact.
But that's not necessarily a really embarrassing moment. Maybe it is. But yeah, I mean, well, have you ever said anything that you wish you hadn't said?
Oh, yeah. You're going to get me to tell this story, aren't you?
I don't know. Depends on what story you...
Is it
clean?
It's clean.
Okay.
I was doing a live broadcast at a studio with the wonderful Tony Camillo, who you know very mm-hmm. well. Tony Camillo, the broadcast icon, producer, music industry producer, wonderful man.
2 doctorates.
Yes, 2 doctorates and a heck of a guy. We were doing a live broadcast from his studio with Ray Charles and Billy Joel. And this is live on the Radio ASB network. Okay, and they were sitting there, and we had a little band playing. He has a huge studio complex, and we were having just a wonderful time. And it was my opportunity to really shine. I was just really rolling in the business. I was just kind of getting it going, as it were. And Tony is queuing, and I was doing some side promotions, and I was introduced to Ray Charles and Billy and Joel, who I've gotten to know since then. And we're moving along, and I got to my spot on the show. As you know, every time there is the moment they were going to play together. Ray Charles and Billy Joel. Now, you have to remember the names, Ray Charles and Billy Joel. So I get up on the mic. This is live. We're also broadcasting live television as well. Okay? And I get up and say, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor that I present Billy Charles.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yes.
No.
Billy Charles. It came out. Well, Frank Escone, my saxophonist in the little group I had that was playing jazz and some stuff on the side, yells across this large studio, and he's my tailor. Well, he yelled out, he's my tailor. I broke up. Billy Joel was hysterical because I really blew it. That was you want to blow one thing? That was big time.
Oh, sure.
This is live. We had everyone all hooked up around the country. Billy Charles. He's my tailor. Well, I could not stop laughing. The tears are pouring down my face, both embarrassed and this was my moment to shine.
Well, I
shined, all right.
Well, another follow-up question then. Were you working for the same people the next day or not?
Actually, it was my...
Or were you fired again?
At that time, it was my company and I couldn't fire myself. As a matter of fact, I've had... it was the early days of the internet. And so... When you're in that position after so many years I've been on the air, you learn to play into your mistakes.
Oh.
And this became infamous. When I did the Rothmans gigs for so many years, the live broadcast we were talking about before coming on the air, the Billy Charles story has become infamous, and I've told it many times. And I received, before he passed away, Ray Charles sent me a Christmas note that same year saying... loved working with you. Let's do it again. A beautiful bottle of champagne, Billy Charles.
Yeah, that's good.
Billy Charles. Yeah. He got it. I still have that note. I could never get rid of it. But it was my big moment to shine, my moment in the sun, and right down the old Afghan pooper.
Boy.
But those are the things you live.
I mean, we've all had them. I mean, you can't work in this business without making a lot of mistakes.
No.
And hopefully admitting them as soon as you possibly can. So,
but what I love with the mistakes,
complicate it.
You were a news anchor and a very, very good one for so many years. When you're trying to be serious, and in your end of the business, they're all trying to be serious, and they make these flubs, and they try to recover, it's when they try to recover that it's when I just start to laugh. I cannot stop laughing.
Well, it's very difficult when your partner is laughing and you've made the mistake. And, you know, to contain a laugh when you're trying to be serious in the news business is very, very difficult.
It's almost impossible.
I'll tell you a quick story. Many years ago, working with the wonderful, very talented Jim Jensen.
Yes.
He was my partner at WCBS television in New York for the 6 o'clock news. And one time he was reading a story about the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh.
I'm smiling already.
The guy who, I forget what he was doing, but anyway, the story was that he had like a hundred limos and spending a lot of money and stuff like that. But when he mentioned the name, when he was reading the name in the copy, he said that, you know, Bhagwan Rajneesh, and he couldn't get it out. Well, I was sitting right next to him, not more than, you know, a foot and a half away, but not on camera. I'm not on camera. He is, and I went, you know, I started to laugh. Well, I could see the corners of his mouth start to turn up because he wanted to laugh. What I didn't realize is when I did that was that he was finishing his story, and now I've got to read. And it got to me, and my story was not as serious, but the point is I had a lot of difficulty getting it because that time Jensen was now laughing out loud. And so finally the two of us just broke up, and we've had to say we're going to go to commercial. We'll try to calm ourselves down, and we did, but you know, those things happen.
That's when you get the screaming in your headsets from the director saying, what the hell are you guys doing?
True.
I did a thing. It was at KTLA in Los Angeles. And it was just one of those. I know you had them. One of those nights when nothing worked.
Sure.
And we're getting towards the weather portion.
Like today?
Like today.
Oh, okay.
Nothing is working. And the weather usually runs around 15 or 20 minutes into a half hour broadcast. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in that window, depending upon the station. Well, the weather guy was, well, he had long since lost it for whatever reason, and he was just all a giggle. I don't know what the problem, if there was a problem, he was just giggling, and he was trying to get through the damn weather, and he couldn't get through it at all. So it got tossed back. I was producing the segment. I was in the control room, and we started to laugh in the control room. And so we had to feed it back to the front desk, feed it back to the head desk to lead on to the closing story, which is about a woman growing grapes in her backyard in California. She had a little country farm going there. Well, as soon as the woman poked up, because her glasses were crooked, the poor lady, it was a live feed.
Mm-hmm.
everyone in the studio lost it. there wasn't a person that wasn't on the floor laughing. And the poor person doing, the young lady doing the interviews, she's now doing KNBC news and big time news in Los Angeles to this day. She said, "I'm out of here." Took the lady. They got in a cab on that video. They said, "We're coming. We're going to dinner. Goodbye and good night." And that was it. The rest of the broadcast was a giggle. That happens sometimes.
You know, the only way it really works, Stanislavski, the great theatrical teacher, said, "Honesty is not always perceived as such."
Yes.
But to be honest and admit your mistakes, to laugh when laugh is appropriate, as long as you're not in a ridicule sense.
Correct.
Then you will always have forgiveness from the audience.
And it was one of the highest rated segments. They still talk about it on KTLA News. It was just fun. And it's when an entire news studio, lost it. And are we still losing it, Roland?
Nope. Say goodbye.
We're back.
Oh, well, we'll be back, yes.
America, weekend. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.